And restarted because I was trying to see if I could get on here like this, and it worked. Yay! They messed around with our Zoom and gave us the capability of being jumping from our Zoom onto Corinne's Zoom, which is awesome. So I don't have to keep logging into her Zoom. So, oh, hey, T, how's it going? So, yes, so this is what we are doing today, in case anyone is curious. It's a drinking call with Coach MJ. I'm so excited to be here. The first thing we're going to do tonight, though, is, you know, I've talked before about how the, like all of the tools that we have in No BS apply to everything, not just food, but you can apply it to a plethora of things. And so last night, your girl MJ, had an urge for wine, and look what I did. I did a pre-urge worksheet. So I'm going to go through that with y'all so you can just see kind of what I was going through, what, you know, how I answered these questions, all that kind of stuff. And then after that is over, I will answer questions in the Q&A and do some coaching around drinking. So if you have any questions that you want me to answer, you can put them in the Q&A box. We will be here for 1 hour, 1 hour. So, so this weekend, I went to a dance competition. Y'all know I'm a dance mom. Y'all may not have known that, but I am a dance mom. So my 16-year-old is a competitive dancer. It was the last dance competition of the season. And so we went, and she did better than, this was her best competition to date. So we were very excited about that. And then we were driving home, and I started thinking about how good it would be to have a glass of wine whenever I got home. I did not plan wine. I was not going to drink wine. I have to comment on this from the Caribbean. Hello. I love the Caribbean. So I went to the No BS website and I printed out a pre-urge worksheet. So you can find that on Weight Loss Resources. And then there's like worksheets and more, whatever. And then there's a whole bunch of worksheets. And so I printed out the pre-urge worksheet. That's where I got it from, if you're wanting to know. And I will also include a link to the pre-urge worksheet in the show notes. So you'll be able to get a hold of it if you don't know where it is. So yes, it says date and time of urge. So I put yesterday's date because it was yesterday when I filled it out, 8 p.m. Where was I? I was home after getting home from the dance competition. What am I wanting to eat right now? I just put drink wine because that's what I was wanting to do. And it was not on my plan. And then am I avoiding doing or feeling something? If so, what and why? I am avoiding emptying the car and starting to unpack because I'm tired. And I'm feeling on edge and I'm telling myself I need to relax. So avoiding being tense. I have been driving and I don't like to drive long distances. I don't like to drive, y'all. That's my thing. I don't like to drive, especially on the interstate. And so yesterday it took me back roads, which I was so excited about. Whenever we went, it took me on the back roads. And then on the way back, I was like, this is going to be a nice drive because I don't even have to drive on the interstate. But it was dusk. And then I started to think about deer. And what if a deer runs out in front of me? And what if it hits us? And what if I played the what if game? I was like, I'm in a safe car. Like I had to kind of talk to myself the whole way home about deer and hitting a deer and being in an accident. Because the older I get, I don't like to drive as much. So am I trying to create feelings like relief, connection, etc.? If so, what and why? I am trying to create relaxed. I can even feel my shoulders tensing up. Y'all, I looked in the mirror. I was like this whenever I got home. I had the thought that a glass of wine will help me relax so that I can sleep better. Is there anything else I can do right now that is easy and will keep me from eating, drinking? I could shower. I could just go ahead and go to bed, take some deep breaths, which is one thing that I actually did. And then I put shoulder and neck roll because my shoulders were so tense. And then I did a little mini TDL at the bottom. If I choose to drink, it says eat, but I insert drink. Tomorrow morning, I will wish I had and why. So I put, I will be disappointed in myself. I didn't plan wine today on purpose. The version of me that planned no wine had my best interest in mind. She even knew that I would be driving and still didn't plan a drink. You know, for after, not during. Y'all get that, right? I have a story that wine relaxes me, but those are my thoughts. I do know that it does relax me some, but I don't allow myself to immediately go to what the other things that will relax me are. Of course, wine is the first thing that I think about. It has been my number one go-to for so long. My mind's job is to make things easy, so of course it goes there first. Notice how I wasn't judging it? It's just doing its little job. That's all it's doing. When I say no to wine, I open myself up to other possibilities. Because, y'all, I wouldn't have thought about deep breathing and shoulder roll and neck roll and all those other things if I had just gone straight to the bottle of wine. So I did some other things that would help me relax to show my brain that there are other things. It's not just wine. So, yeah. So that's what I did last night. Did not drink. Felt very good today. And it was awesome. It was awesome. Laura has hit a deer. Yeah, I'm telling you. It scares me. They're so cute. They're precious Bambis. And they make me nervous. So, yes. So if you can do this when you have an urge of any kind, an urge for food, you can use it if you have an urge to spend money when you didn't plan on spending money. You can use it, of course, for alcohol. You can use it for anything that you're, you know, having an urge for. So, and I was just looking for a break, y'all. That's all I was doing. Because if I was drinking, I would sit down and have a drink. That's what I was looking for. I was looking for no more running around, no more stress, like just sit down and let it all go. And I was thinking that the only way that I could really justify that was to sit down and be doing something, which was drinking, but that's not what I did. Yes, the drinking calls are one time a month. Do I think white knuckling was involved? I think at the beginning it was, just for a minute until I recognized what my thoughts were. Because on the way home, I was thinking about it and I was like, nope, not going to do it. Not going to do it. And then I'm like, and I really did start to think, how do you want to feel tomorrow? How do you want to go to bed tonight? And that's what got me thinking, like, you know, this is not going to be helpful for me. And then I came in and did the pre-urge worksheet, which actually gave me the break that I wanted. I wanted an opportunity to sit down, like, you know, not have to unpack my car or not have to, like, whatever. And just sitting down here for the few minutes it took me was that break that I needed, actually. It was like the pause between getting out of the car and doing all that stuff and then coming in and doing what needed to be done next. So it was, I mean, that was actually my break. So, which is what I was looking for, which was so awesome. Thank you very much for my shout out to my hair and all the things. Miss Kirsten has her hand raised. So y'all, I'm going to go ahead and call on her. But if you have any questions, you can put them in the Q&A. I'll answer those. And then if you want coaching around your drinking, just raise your hand and I will call on you. So, all right, Kirsten. It is. I'm trying to see what y'all know. I have to write this down because I have to write these calls up for y'all. You know how it goes. Let's see.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's Kirsten. Thank you.
Kirsten. Yeah. Are you a teacher?
No.
Oh, because Miss Kirsten, you know, everybody's Miss
Kirsten. I forgot I changed it to Miss Kirsten. What happened is the young thing at the self-checkout called me Miss the other day. And normally I'm called Ma'am. And I was like, I like that a lot. I'm going to change it to Miss Kirsten.
That's a level up.
Level up from Ma'am to Miss or something. But thank you for the heads up. I did not know I was going to jump on a call so quickly.
Well, thank you.
So I'm a little bit nervous. Breathe, right?
Yeah. Deep breath. That's what I did last night.
I missed the first part of the call. I just jumped on. So if you answered this, I apologize. What I want coaching on is I've recently become very, very conscious of my drinking and how I want to be as a drinker. Like, I'm kind of showing up for myself the way I want to be. Mm-hmm. And all of that's very good. What I've noticed, though, I haven't worked this out, so I'm going to say it unfiltered. But when I've been good, there's a thought there that I get, it doesn't haunt me, but then I will not show up the way I want to. Does that make sense? So I will drink, like I'll drink on Friday. I measure it. I drink it. I savor it. I drink on purpose.
Okay.
And I enjoy it. That's the point, right? So I'll have my glass of wine on Friday. I enjoy it. Saturday, I plan my margaritas. I enjoy it. And then maybe Sunday, I had a bad day and I consciously chose, instead of working through my day, I chose to use alcohol and wine and Doritos to solve for how bad I felt. And I did it with full awareness. Mm-hmm. And I still chose that as a way to cope instead of working through how I was feeling. I did the discovery worksheet today, mm-hmm. figured it out, blew my mind wide open. But I think that's not even the question. My question is, anytime that I do have ideas about stopping drinking, like quitting and just deciding not to drink, I get scared or I panic or something and can never pull the trigger.
Okay.
So I just went through two different scenarios, two different coaching calls. Yeah. I want to focus on the second one.
Okay.
The second one, of which anytime that I think I should just stop drinking, let it go, that's when I hold on the tightest.
Okay.
Apparently. So
why would you quit drinking? Like, what are your reasons to quit drinking?
My reasons for quit drinking would be for, like last night, using the alcohol and it being so easy to use the alcohol instead of just deciding that it's not something I do anymore. I want to hold on to it. It's my whoopee. I want to hold on to it.
Okay.
Just in case.
In case what?
Just in case I have a bad day or a day that I don't want to figure out. Like, I want it in my back pocket. Just in case.
Yeah. So did yesterday, because you drank wine yesterday because you had a bad day. So did that fix your day, I'm assuming?
It changed. It did what it was supposed to do. It changed how I was feeling so that I didn't have to feel and think. It kind of turned off that part of my brain because mm-hmm. I didn't want to think about it. So it did the job and there wasn't any shame or judgment about it, even in the moment or afterwards. This morning I had a little bit, journaled about it. And then once I did my discovery worksheet, I was like, oh, that's good. Dang it.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, and the good thing is you didn't waste it. Like Corinne always says, never waste an overeat. You never want to waste drinking off plan. You want to learn from it and grow from it. Learn what it's supposed to teach you. But, you know, what you're saying is like, I'm hanging on to it in case I have a bad day. So.
Well, yeah. If I'm having a bad day. Well, what happened like yesterday, I got to a point in my day where I just didn't want to think about it. I didn't want to process how I was feeling. You're going to think this is terrible. I submitted my problem to Ask Coaches, and then I didn't want to think about it anymore. So I kind of handed it off to Ask Coaches and then waited. And while I was waiting, I just drank and ate Doritos.
Yeah. So you had already turned your question over.
Yes.
And you decided,
I didn't want to think about it anymore.
Yeah. Well, why did you have to have a drink not to think about it?
I was bored. Like once I didn't want to think about that, like I just felt bored. Because a lot of the times I really enjoy the work and I enjoy the journaling. I enjoy exploring different thoughts and avenues, but I was like, I don't want to listen to PM. No BS.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
I know, I have to catch myself too.
Why did you have
to do all of those things? That's my question.
What was the original?
Why did you have to do all those things to have a good day or to turn your day around? Like it was either like process it by doing all this mental gymnastics or drink. Of course your brain is going to say drink.
In the moment, I didn't know that. In the moment, I just felt bored.
Yeah. And so what you did was you just decided like, I'm going to hand off this problem because I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to process. I don't want to do anything. And at that point, you made processing it equal hard. Like I have to journal. I need to listen in OBS. Like I need, like you were saying all this stuff. Like I didn't want to listen. I didn't want to do the thing. I didn't want to whatever.
Yeah. I didn't want to look at it at all. And I.
Right. So, but looking at it, because it had this list of things that you had to accomplish in order to look at the problem you were having.
I was making it a big problem.
Yeah. Well, and you were making the solution just as big.
Yeah.
Like, I need to listen to this thing. I need to journal. I need to examine my thoughts. I have to, like, keep rehashing it. Like, it's this big, gnarly story about what it takes to work through it. Or I can drink. Well.
Which sounds easier?
Like, which one should the brain? Because if the brain's job is to make things easy, you built up this big, like, snowball, like, you know, the abominable snowman story about what, you know, what it was going to take to process these feelings.
And in the end, it was really easy. But you're right.
Yeah.
So, okay, that answer, that go to another one. How, when I get into those situations where I'm making the problem super big, how can I just snap out of it? Because it's not hard. It just takes, looking at it. And in that moment, I didn't want to look at it. And it felt bad. And I overate and I overdrank. And I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So.
You just really, when you, like yesterday, whenever I was feeling myself kind of spiraling, like.
I missed your story.
It's okay.
I'll
I was
back.
Spiraling. I was going to hit a bunch of deer and I was going to die on a road somewhere on the way to Spartanburg, South Carolina, somehow. In my mind, none of it happened. None of it was going to happen. But it was, you know, in my brain, it was all about to go down, right? So I was like, I'm in a car. Like, I just looked at what was around me. What can I control? I can't control if a deer, like, juts out in front of me, but I can keep my eyes on the road. I can keep two hands on the wheel. I can enjoy my daughter who's sitting beside me. Like, what can I control in this moment? Not what the deer do, not what somebody else does, not what somebody else said to me, but what can I control? What can I do about this right now?
Yeah.
Is there anything I can do about
it? I read the best quote. It was control the controllable.
Yeah. 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 Control the controllable.
We can do too. Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's what happens. Like, we get into these, like, if y'all go on over to Thought Bootcamp for this month, it's like thebomb.com. So I just kept, we talk a lot about these like thought babies. You just start, you have a thought and then you just keep, it keeps producing thought babies. That's what I was doing. That's what you were doing yesterday. You had a thought that like processing it is going to be hard. And then you start having all these thoughts about how hard it's going to be. And it's just like, it reminds me, you may be too young, but the gremlins, Like, you know, the gremlins, like you give them water after midnight or whatever it was. And then they're like, pop, 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 pop.
I wish like I could imagine, claim to be too young.
Like, yes, Miss Kirsten.
You're adorable.
So like, I just kept thinking, you know, it's like, pop, 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 pop. Like, it just seemed to me like that's kind of where my brain was going. And I was like, whoop. What can I control right now?
Yeah. And I didn't do that.
Yeah. Because a lot, that's what happens. Just spins and spins and spins.
Okay.
And that one question for me is like this. And then I put my brain to work on, like, what can I do right now?
What do you mean one question?
Like, what can I control? That's my question. Yeah. Like, what can I control?
Can I do right now? Like, what can I do right now to feel
what
better?
Can I do right now?
Not alcohol. No, not
what, but wait a minute. What can I do to feel better? That's never the question. What can I think to feel better?
Oh,
how can I think about this differently? Because your thoughts never make you feel anything. I mean, your actions never make you feel anything. Your thoughts make you feel something.
Yeah.
Did something go
on? Like, I got the answer. I just have to find it. And if I don't look, I'm not going to find it. So, yeah. Okay.
And often, y'all, it's not like going to listen to modules or like, you know, whatever. It's not like doing all this crazy stuff. Sometimes you can just, like, I'm feeling like overwhelmed or I'm feeling like crap or I'm feeling this, that, and the other thing. Like, then the question is, how do I want to feel right now? I want to feel calm. Well, then what could I think about the situation to help me feel calm? I've already submitted it to Ask Coaches. They're going to give me an answer. I'm going to take that answer and work on it. It's going to be tomorrow, though. It takes 24 hours to get an answer from Ask Coaches. Like, just start having that conversation. Nothing I can really do about it right now. But you know what? Tomorrow, when I get my input from Ask Coaches, I'm going to get a chance to process it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. The answer is not big and gnarly and hairy. Usually.
Mine was not big, gnarly, and hairy. Apparently, my smoke signal, like if I start to be kind of judgy on Facebook, it means that I'm judging myself. So that's what I uncovered.
It's usually like, that's what it is.
I was like, I was judging myself like for something, and then it turned me into like a judgy person. So I thought that was a very interesting proof of our thoughts produce our results.
Oh, because every time.
Yeah.
Every time. It's amazing how that works.
I am continually amazed.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's nice.
Thank you so much, MJ.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Let's see what we have. How do I want to feel myself when I go to bed tonight, wake up tomorrow? That has helped me not to drink several times. I know, Maria, I'm telling you. That's why on this urge worksheet, it asks you, if I choose to eat tomorrow morning, I will wish I had what? Why? Such a good question. Had not. Right? It does say a why. Let's see. You don't have to write this down, y'all. All right. Now we have a couple questions. I'll answer those. Any strategies for not doing effort eating after a few drinks? We've talked about this, Anonymous, several times on other calls too. You can go back and listen to some of my other drinking calls, but there is, like, if you want to control it yourself, there is typically a number of drinks that, like, you still have complete control. You can still make great decisions. For some people, that's one. For me, it's three. It's whatever your number is. So you need to figure out what your number is, what number you can have and still make like baller decisions that like serve you. You can say no to food, whatever it is. The other thing that you can do is set up external accountability for people that you're with. If you want to, if you don't want to eat or whatever, be like, look, I'm going to drink a little bit extra tonight. Y'all need to slap this turkey leg out of my hand or whatever it is. Like, you're going to have to help me and set up some stop gaps. You can set reminders on your phone to go off to remind you of your goals. Because at some point, it does. That's what alcohol does. It clouds your decision-making process. And so you have got to either set something up ahead of time or decide what your drink number is. Like those sleep number beds, right? Like whatever's comfortable for you, that's what you have to figure out. Oh, Nancy is asking about ask coaches. I will answer this on here. When you submit a question to ask coaches, you need to make sure that you remember what the name of your question is. And so you go back under recent answers. And that is where all the answers are populated. You just have to scroll through and find the one. We don't send emails. We don't send any, because it's anonymous. We don't know who the hell sent it. It could be anybody. Yeah. So we don't know who sent it. And so you have to remember your thing. Yes. And all panelists and attendees, if you want everybody to hear what you have to, or read what you have to say. All right. We have Kayla. And then we have Joanne with their hands raised. So I'm going to pull up Kayla first. Let's see. Let's see if we can start Kayla's video and unmute her. I wonder, did she mean to raise her hand? I don't think she might have meant to raise her hand. Kayla, if you meant to raise your hand, you can raise it again. And then the other caller had their hand went down. So do y'all, anybody else want to be coached about drinking? I will be more than happy to coach somebody. We still have 30 minutes left. If not, it's going to be a super short call. Mary. Let's see. Oh, Kayla didn't mean to. Girl, it's all right. We got you. Oh, look. Mary B looking good in her picture.
Oh, God, that's an old one. Hi.
Hey.
Hey, let me get my current picture up. That's me now.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
How's it going?
A little crazy, but I think it's that way for everybody nowadays.
It's life.
Yeah, I came to this call because I saw on the calendar that it was on drinking and urges, and I think that for me lately, it's all one big blur.
Okay.
I'm dealing with chronic pain and sciatica right now after two back surgeries in the last year, and because I was not managed well in terms of my pain. And because I've had weight loss surgery, there's lots of medications I can't take for pain. Mm-hmm. I was put on a medication called Suboxone because they said I had an opioid use disorder. The opioids didn't work with me. Anyway, long story short, I am okay with opioids and stuff, and I'm dealing with the pain until I can get it fixed with PT. I'm allowed to drink moderately according to my doctor. Wine. I'm not really into hard liquor or beer. I guess I've gotten a little, like my normal urge pattern is to, when I have an emotional response of any kind, whether it's happy or sad or stressed, I either want a sugary pastry treat, or I want more alcohol than I would have planned for. Like last night, it was Sunday night, and I planned for one glass of wine, and I wound up having three. And I wasn't wasted. I don't really get wasted when I drink wine, but I guess I want to lose. I'm here because I want to lose weight, but. I, especially because I'm terrified because I think my sleep apnea might be coming back a little bit. I had the weight loss surgery primarily to get rid of the sleep apnea, sleeping with CPAP, and I got rid of it by losing over 100 pounds. But I mean, I've gained up from my lowest enough that, and it terrifies me. So I'd like some help on emotionally dealing with urges and not listening to the little kid voice or the lizard brain voice in me that says I can have it if I want to. No, yeah. That's me being long-winded. Sorry.
No, that's okay. That's okay. I think so many people have the same question. So I think it's going to be very helpful for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So you plan for a drink.
Yes.
You have your drink. This was last night. We're going back to last night.
Right.
You have your one drink and you know that you're done. You're done. And you have a thought of what?
My thought was, lately, my combo has been, I know this is going to sound weird. Lately, my combo indulgence has been wine and M&Ms. It sounds not very classy, but that's good what me. It is. I was just sitting up in bed. My thought was just like, screw my plan. I want another one. Okay. I mean, I'm screwing myself.
Yeah. Screw my plan. I want another one. Mm-hmm. And then you felt what when you thought that?
It's like in my brain, it feels like the rational voice, the voice that makes sense, is really small and kind of far away. Yeah. And the rest of my brain is like overruling it.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? That's what happens every time that you're trying to change your thoughts, because, you know, your brain is sending up the stories that always get you what you want, which is another drink or some M&Ms or some sugary treats or whatever it is. Like, that's what it does. And in the back of your brain, it's like this little tiny voice. It's like, but we have goals. Wait, what about me? And it's quiet at first.
I've been on this program since last December. And as of now, I've lost a grand total of 10 pounds. And I'm not satisfied with that. And I know I need to change my thinking and stick with stuff. Chronic pain makes it really hard to focus sometimes. And yeah. Certainly I'm not making excuses for myself, but it's a lot focusing on the rehab, on pain management, on my job, on running my house, being away from my family, not having a partner. It's a perfect storm, really.
It's a perfect storm. Like, that's how you're describing your life, like a storm.
Feels that way sometimes.
Yeah. But if you're spinning your whole, like, this is what we talk about all the time, y'all. This is so good. And this is what all of this Thought Boot Camp is about this month. It is about those small thought babies. Like, you have a thought mama. My life is it's a perfect storm. It's the perfect storm. Mm-hmm. Right? And then all day long, it's a perfect storm. It's brewing in the back of your head. Like, it's too hard. I mean, I got all this other stuff to do. It's too hard to follow my plan. I mean, I should be able to have what I want because I got all this other crap going on in my life. I should get one thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, I deserve one thing that's just mine. I deserve something because I got a perfect storm brewing in my house. And all that's playing on a loop all day long, all day long. And you're telling yourself all day long how terrible it is and how hard it is and how your whole life is this perfect storm. And then it gets time to say no to yourself. And you're like, oh, hell no. I've done that enough today. Because you've just been collecting those thought babies all day long. Thought
babies. Like last night I was like, maybe I should go back to, maybe I should try intermittent fasting. Maybe I should go paleo again. I hear that's good for spine inflammation. And I'm like, what the hell am I doing? I'm piling another program on top of the thing I'm already trying to follow. This is crazy.
And the whole thing is now, you know, it's just your thoughts. So, yeah. I mean, do paleo, but if you don't work on your thoughts, it's not going to work. Cause you still have that thought mama of my life is a perfect storm. So whenever you're faced eating, you know, paleo and like just meat, you're like, I'm having some bread for God's sake. Like, I don't care. I deserve it. It's the same thing. And so you need to unravel, like, how do you want to feel about your life? All the long list of stuff that you gave.
I want to feel peaceful. I want to feel like I'm as healthy as I can be physically, knowing that I'm 43, knowing that I'm not 23 anymore.
I know, but what do you want to be, like, what do you want to feel about your life? Like your list of things. I don't have a partner. You know, I'm managing my job. I have pain, all this other stuff. Because right now, the story you have about that is it's the perfect storm.
Mm-hmm. I want to feel like I'm strong and capable of handling it no matter what.
Capable.
Yes. Yeah.
Capable is perfect. So when you think about that long list of things that you rattled off about everything that's going on in your life, mm-hmm. what would you need to think about your life to feel capable?
That it's not as bad as I'm making it out to be in my head, that I've survived worse and that I'll survive this.
I'll survive this. Or, you know what? I'm doing the best I can. I'm doing one thing at a time. I still have a roof over my head. Like, whatever it is that gives you the feeling of capable. Imagine if all day long, from early morning, when you started doing your day, like from early morning, and you were like, oh my God, now I got to go do this. Well, shit. I already did that. Now I got to go do this. This is ridiculous. If I just had a partner, like whatever. Mm-hmm. If every time you had those little thought babies come up, you were like, you know what? I'm going to handle one thing at a time. I'm capable. I have survived things before. I'm going to survive this. And oh my God, now I got another meeting. If I didn't have, I could clean my house, but damn, now my boss is, this is so ridiculous. How am I supposed to have any kind of life if they keep doing this? You know what? I'm going to do one thing at a time. I'm capable. I'm capable of handling one thing at a time. I have survived things in my life. I can survive this. All day long, you were doing that. All day long. All day long. All day long. It's not about wanting to drink at the end of the day or wanting to eat at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. It all comes from a mismanaged mind all day long and letting those thought babies just run wild. Thought babies just, you know, it's unfair. You start thinking like, it's unfair. I shouldn't have to be doing all this. Other people don't have to do this much. Other people have a partner. If I had a partner, this would be so much easier. If I didn't have this back pain, my life would be so much easier. And then at the end of the day, you're so tired from running that song in your head all day long. You're like, fuck it. I ain't got time for that foolishness. I've already been dealing with all this shit all day long. I'm done. Give me the wine.
My main outlet over, you know, after I lost the initial amount of weight from the surgery was running. I ran 3 marathons. Really, really loved it. It was my endorphin release. You know, it made me feel so good. And I built a community, met a lot of nice people through it. And then I injured my back. And for the last year, it's been 2 surgeries and shots and isolating pain. And that endorphin has really been taken away from me. And then I got physically.
No. Okay. The endorphins have not been taken away from you. You hurt your back. And now the way that you are physical at this point looks different than it did before. I might not can do what I did before, but I can absolutely do what I can right now. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, it's all this story about what's been taken away, what doesn't work anymore, what's wrong with your life, all that kind of stuff. You have to start talking about your life in a way as a person who can handle it, a person who can do one thing at a time and is absolutely capable of handling it, and a person who loves herself so much. You love yourself so much that you are not willing to physically push your body to a place that it can't go without injuring yourself even more. Mm-hmm. Like, what a gift. You see the difference in the story?
Yeah.
Because you could, there are people who are injured right now who refuse to give up things that are hurting them physically.
Yeah.
And they are just hurting themselves even more physically. And you're like, I am not that person. I'm going to love myself. I'm going to heal my body. I'm going to take care of me in the best way that I can. And right now that's not running. So it goes back to like, it's not the drinking at the end of the day. It's the way that you describe your life all day. It's those damn thought babies that keep coming up. And this is so good for so many, because you have all these stories and thoughts and you don't even realize that they're there and that they're like putting you down. But like when you think, when you have a thought, running has been taken away from me, how does that feel?
It feels unfair. It feels like I didn't deserve that. Like I was having so much joy and fun and then now it's gone.
Yeah, unfair.
And I don't know if I'll get it back.
And maybe you won't, but you'll find something else that will bring you joy if you don't keep telling yourself that things are just being taken away from you. When you feel the feeling, a lot of times it is the feeling that you feel first. So when you start to feel like, you know, like something is unfair, whatever, that's when you say, what am I thinking right now? Running was taken away from me. Is that really true? Mm-mm. What else could I think? How do I want to feel about running?
And right? I love it and I want to do it again.
Yeah, I want to do it again, but right now I'm loving myself enough to say no to it so that I can heal my body.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm not running at all. I'm a nurse. That's what I do in my daily life. And I know well enough not to re-injure myself. Not right now.
Yeah. Cause you love yourself enough. Mm-hmm. Tell yourself always, y'all, the stories that you make up about your life and the things that are happening around you, make yourself the hero of the story every single time. Every time. And that's how you change your thoughts, is if you take control and you're like, and I am the badass that's figuring this out. We've been all over the place with you, Mary.
Sorry.
I know. I hope that was helpful to everyone. I know. We started out with drinking. We've talked about it. Like we've
about urges. It's about impulsivity and urges. And to me, it all kind of runs together.
100%. Those urges that you're having a hard time saying no to is because of all the stories that you have about your life. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the day, you're like, I've already done all of this. I'm not telling myself no one more time. Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to be the loving parent to myself, the way that you are, I guess, if you're a parent who says no to your child in a loving way, because my mother was not very loving in her ways when she said no to me, which is why I'm like, well, fuck you, mom. I'm going to eat as much cake as I want and drink. Well, not drink when I was a kid, but
yeah,
that was my way of rebelling. So yeah. Now I've got to move beyond that.
Yeah. So when you say, you know, that's the whole thing that comes up. Like when you say no, if you had said no to those, well, even whenever you said yes to those two drinks, you're saying no to something. Mm-hmm. And if you say no, you say yes to something. That's with food, with all of it. Mm-hmm. So you did tell, whenever you said yes last night to those extra drinks, you did tell yourself no. What did you say no to?
Said no to feeling clear-headed the next morning. Mm-hmm. It's early enough in the week, but maybe no to not losing weight this week.
Yeah.
Depending on how the rest of the week goes. No to feeling like accomplished, like I kept my plan.
Yeah. Yeah. You said no to keeping a promise to yourself.
Yeah.
That helps me a lot.
And like what I think Nancy is saying in the chat, that she's absolutely right. I want to lose the weight, not just for vanity, but to be easier on my back. Because the more weight I carry, it'll be on my joints. So that's a good thing to remind myself that if I say yes to X, Y, and Z, food and drinking wise, I'm saying no to less pressure on my joints.
Yeah. Yeah. Good call.
Thank you.
Good call. All right.
Very much.
That was a really good call, y'all. That was a really good call. Kristen has got a Q&A. When I'm mad at my husband and I drink, I end up saying screw you through my drinks, and I want to just keep drinking, and I end up drinking way too much because I'm mad. What is a good thought to stop myself from saying screw you through the alcohol to feel better? Well, let's talk about what saying screw you is. So your husband says some things to you, and then your thought is screw you, right? And you're mad, you feel mad, and then you drink, and then you overdrink, and your result is you're saying screw you to you. Screw you plans, screw you weight loss, screw you goals. It didn't hurt his feelings if he drank. He didn't give two craps. It didn't make him not wake up feeling great. You're saying screw you to you. That's what Kirsten was saying about when she wrote in to ask coaches. And she was being judgy. You know, she was judging people, and then it showed her judgments about herself. So you need to first look at what you're actually doing right now, Kristen, whenever you, you know, when you're saying screw you to your husband, right? And so then you want to ask yourself, you know, how do I want to feel about my husband, right? Like, what do you want to think about him? He said some words, you know? He said some words. That would be a great question to ask and ask coaches, so you can get into like what was actually said and like how you want to think and feel about it. But first you need to know what, you know, what you need to say, what you're actually doing in your current thinking, like where that is getting you right now, which is, you know, a big old F you to yourself, which is not great. All right. Kristen is a June newbie, so it's all new. That's exactly right. And you'll catch on. You'll catch on. That's that whole, what I just did was that think, feel, do. So you think, screw you, right? And then you feel mad. And then you drink and you overdrink and you do all the things. And really, whenever you look at that do line, you can see that you're like, screw you, Kristen, and your goals, right? That was a good question too. So Nancy, let's see. You know, people, we have had several butt raisins today. Nancy. Hello. Let me see.
Can you hear me now?
I can.
I can hear you now.
I can see you and I can hear you. I can do all the things with you. Yes.
Sweet. Okay, so I'm not 100% sure what I want to get coached on with drinking, but I do think that my relationship with drinking does need to change a bit. So I've been trying to journal about it a lot lately, and I found some thoughts about drinking that I really would like to change. So things like I'm more fun when I'm drinking, and things like I like using drinking to kind of connect with my friends. We I probably binge drink, to be totally honest. I probably binge drink once a week, usually on Fridays, because that's kind of the night that my fiance and I go out and we, you know, go to bars and we play pool and we go to the races, and that's just kind of what we do. And I also have this thought about drinking that it helps my weight go down, which I don't think is good, but it's kind of backed up by evidence. And I think it's just because I'm dehydrating myself. But it's kind of interesting because the next morning I get on the scale and it's always down. I'm usually 3 out of 4 times when I do binge drinking or when we go out, I usually don't eat in the evening. Sorry, my dog's back there. So I, you know, 3 out of 4 times I'm not overeating because of drinking. Usually it's literally just a night out drinking and then we get home and my boyfriend will make food, but I will usually go to bed. So I'm not sure, like, I guess I'm just not sure on, I mean, I know it's not necessarily a healthy relationship with drinking, but I'm not sure how much I want to change it and whether it's worth trying right now since I am still losing.
Yeah. But the whole thing is like this, and that's, we had someone on the call several, like a couple of months ago, who was like, you know, I have this, like I'm drinking, doing this stuff and my weight loss is great. I'm happy with it. And she ended up like, she didn't want to change her relationship with it. She was like, I'm happy the way, the only thing that I would do, this is the only thing I would do. If you don't want to change your relationship with alcohol right now, then don't, like, leave it right as it is. But I would start working on these stories because they're going to come up again. Like, you know, I mean, this is the whole thing. If alcohol helps you connect, it makes you more fun to hang out with, and it helps you lose weight, then if there ever does come a time that you want to stop, it's going to be way harder.
Right.
Or you want to change your relationship with it, it's going to be way harder. Because it is like, I mean, why would you ever quit? Because the story you're telling.
I know.
Right? And so the whole thing is, you know, you need to define what connection is with people. Like, what does it mean to connect with someone?
Yeah. Okay. So just journal on that.
I mean, is it like your fiance would go out? Like, let's say you and your fiance go out. And then you don't drink. You've decided not to drink, right? Are you still going to have fun with your fiance?
Usually, but sometimes if he drinks a lot, then it's more fun for me to also have some drinks because then I don't find him as annoying.
Yeah. But the whole thing is like the connect, it's the connection of it.
But yeah,
it's not like the next day, if it's not like the next day, if you don't drink, he's like, well, shit, it was like, we even go out. I don't even know why you did. That was ridiculous. I don't feel any, I don't feel connected to you at all.
Okay. That's true.
Right. Like that's not what happens.
No.
Ever. Right. And then you already know that, like, when you have the thought that it helps you lose weight, you need to remind yourself, I am just literally not taking care of myself and dehydrating myself. That's why the scale is going down. Didn't have anything to do with alcohol. Like, really watch the story.
I know that inherently. Like, I know that.
Yeah.
But for some reason, the evidence is.
Every time you get on that scale, every time you get on the scale the next day and it is down, you need to be like, well, that. I just dehydrated the hell out of myself last night. Better hit the water. Like, not like, ooh, I drank, my weight's down.
Right. True.
Like, make sure that you're not like romanticizing it in your head, because remember, the more you tell your story in your head, it becomes a belief system for you.
Yeah.
And then the more you tell that belief, you repeat that belief system in your head, it keeps getting more and more like a part of who you are. And so even if you don't want to change your relationship with it right now, get super honest about what it does for you. Like what it actually does for you.
Yeah. Okay. That helps a ton.
Yeah. And I mean,
you know, that'll help me, like you said, later down the road, if I do want to quit or if I want to change the relationship, that'll help with, like you said, not romanticizing it. I'd like that.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's going to be much more difficult on yourself if you, you don't want to, you want to make sure you have a good story about what it actually is. I just do it because I like it. It doesn't do anything extra. Just watch the story.
Okay.
All right.
Cool.
Nice to meet
you. Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right.
Good to meet you too. Bye.
All right. We have a couple questions and then we will get out of here. Laura V, I have a diet rule around drinking wine. I just can't seem to get over thinking I can't drink wine and lose weight. You can. I know because I did. I'm not really missing it during the pandemic. Do I just need to put it on my plan or do I need to work on the thought first? It's the same thing. Like if you think, like it's the same thing with like certain foods, you know, people are like, if I eat bread, I can't lose weight, right? Like, because of all the past diet rules and stuff they've had, or if I drink wine, I can't lose weight. The best way to disprove that is to do it. If that's something that you want to do, like if it's something that you want, if you want to drink wine and you have a story that you can't lose weight and like you're kind of white knuckling, because if I drink, then, you know, I better be careful, you know, because then I won't be able to lose weight. And you're kind of white knuckling your way through it. And you can even say, I know that I could lose weight and drink wine. There's plenty of people on this call. Your girl MJ right here, Kathy Hartman drinks, Corinne drinks, Betsy drinks, we all drink. And they've lost weight. And I know that it's possible, but, you know, I'm just choosing not to have it right now, you know, because of whatever reason, right? Like I'm just not because it's not going to hinder my weight loss, but because I'm just choosing right now not to have it. And don't give that the power over your weight loss or bread or whatever it is, whatever you're, you know, whatever you have that story about. And I'm going to tell you, ain't none of us overweight because we had a few plain glasses of wine once a week. Ain't none of us. That is not why we're overweight. You know, that's just, it's true. That's the truth right there. Anonymous, did drinking affect my performance as a runner? If I drank and then ran, it would, but no. I just was like, if I really had a super long run, I wouldn't drink for several days before to make, and then I would pound the water to make sure I had plenty of water. But like, no, it didn't, you know, because I became a runner after I kind of changed my relationship with it. So, I guess if I had been drinking a bottle of wine a day, it may have, but, no, not at the point in my journey that I was when I first started to run, it was not a thing. So it has not bothered me. And I don't run every day. So, yeah, I don't run every day. But if I do have like a long run or something, if I'm going to run, I don't drink the day or two before, for sure, for sure, for sure. And I pound the water because of dehydration, right? All right, y'all. These are some really good calls. Good calls tonight. I so enjoy doing this. So let me tell you what, tomorrow we got a new special call, y'all. Special call, y'all. It is a 30-minute Q&A all about the thought babies that we were talking so much about. You do not want to miss that if you are following along with the Thought Bootcamp. I did see, I'm actually going to get in our Slack channel and let them know because I saw several comments in here that y'all were having trouble with the videos. So I'm going to go see, I'm going to go get to the bottom of that for y'all. So that is tomorrow, and I don't know who the coach is. And then on Wednesday at 1, we're changing up our coaching times, y'all. I hope y'all have noticed that. At noon central on Wednesday is a call for teachers with Corinne. So, yeah, so that's that. And I'm going to make sure I said the time right for this call tomorrow. 30-minute Q&A with coaches. Thought Babies is at 5:30 central. So just so we know. And then Coach Betsy is coaching office hours at 5 central on Thursday. So that's open coaching. It doesn't have to be about drinking. It can be about whatever you want it to be about. And then on Friday at 12 central is a virtual Q&A with Corinne in the Facebook Live. So if you are thinking about going to virtual camp, if you have not signed up yet and you have questions about virtual camp, that is where you need to be so that Corinne can tell you all the things about virtual camp. And then on Saturday, you know, is the Facebook Q&A with Corinne at 9 Central, AM Central, not PM. So I had a good time tonight, y'all. And y'all, I'm off next week, so don't be hunting me down. I'm going to California. I'm moving my daughter to California next week. So we're leaving on Sunday and be back on Friday. So your girl MJ is going on vacation. Well, I don't know how much of a, I'm moving a dog and a child to California. So, yeah. So I don't know where y'all are in California. I will be in LA in Brentwood. That's where she's moving. So, yeah, put a drink on my plan. I am going to put a drink on my plan. So yeah, big trip across the country. Yeah. All right. Well, I will see y'all around the rest of this week. And then whenever I get back from vacation, y'all have a great night. Thank y'all for coming.